Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narang Chaiva Narottamam Deving Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udiraye. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto all the assembled Vaishnavas here today. We are reading from the ninth canto, chapter 18, entitled King Yayati Regains His Youth. And we are doing today text numbers 24 and 25. There's no purport for 24, so I'll just read it over. Kate rajani sadire tatrasma rudati pitu nyavedayatata sarvam uktam sarvishtaya kritam. Thereafter, when the learned king returned to his palace, Devayani returned home crying and told her father Shukracharya about all that had happened because of Sharmishta. She told how she had been thrown into the well, but was saved by the king. So text number 25. Durmana, Durmana Bhagavan Kavya. Purohitam, Purohityang Vigarhayan. Duvan Vritting Chakapotin Duhitra Sayayau Purat Durmana. Being very unhappy, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Kavya, Shukracharya, Aurohitam, the business of priesthood, Vigarhayan, condemning, Stuvan, praising, Vritting, the profession, Cha, and Kapotin, of collecting grains from the field, Duhitra, with his daughter, Sa, he Shukracharya, Yayao, went, Purat, from his own residence. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. As Shukracharya listened to what had happened to Devayani, his mind was very much aggrieved. Condemning the profession of priesthood and praising the profession of Unchavritti, collecting grains from the fields, he left home with his daughter. Please repeat. As Shukracharya listened to what had happened to Devayani, his mind was very much aggrieved. Condemning the profession of priesthood and praising the profession of Unchavritti, collecting grains from the fields, he left home with his daughter. Purport. When a Brahmana adopts the profession of kapota, or pigeon, he lives by collecting grains from the field. This is called Unchavritti. A Brahmana who takes to this Unchavritti profession is called first class, because he depends completely on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and does not beg from anyone. Although the profession of begging is allowed for a Brahmin or a sannyasi, one does better if he can avoid such a profession and completely depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for maintenance. Shukracharya was certainly very sorry that because of his daughter's complaint, he had to go to his disciple to beg some mercy, which he was obliged to do because he had accepted the profession of priesthood. In his heart, Shukracharya did not like his profession, but since he had accepted it, he was obliged to go unwillingly to his disciple to settle the grievance submitted by his daughter. Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitang Tang Sajevam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Translation again. As Shukracharya listened to what had happened to Devayani, his mind was very much aggrieved. Condemning the profession of priesthood and praising the profession of Unchavritti, collecting grains from the fields, he left home with his daughter. So previously, King Iyati had extended his, he had been wandering about his kingdom, and he came upon this well, and obviously there was a very distressed woman. She was probably crying out. She wanted to get out of the well, and he looked in the well, and she had been thrown in there with no clothes on by Sharmishta. And fortunately, Yayati arrived on the scene. He gave immediately, he threw in his upper cloth so that she could cover herself. And then he extended his hand and helped her out of the well. And when she came out of the well, she said, "Because you have extended your hand to me and I have taken your hand, you have taken my hand, we are now essentially married." And King Iyati, being a very controlled and righteous Kshatriya, did the right thing. He listened to her because she said to him, "I have been cursed to not be able to, I'm a Brahmani, but I've been cursed that I cannot marry a Brahmin. And so therefore you must accept me as your wife." So Yayati listened, and he was also, it says in the verse, he was attracted to her. So he thought, well, maybe this is a good situation. But being a very righteous king, you know, if this had happened anywhere in the Kali Yuga, you know, somebody comes upon a naked lady, they would probably take advantage of them. But in that age, King Ayati, he sent her on Devayani on her way back to her father. And he knew that the right thing to do would be to get permission from the father of, from his father and from Shukracharya, Devayani's father, because of this Pratiloma marriage. It's the marriage that is from a Brahmani down to a Kshatriya is not considered so proper in that time. So she leaves and goes, and he goes back to his father, Vrishaparva, and he waits. And she goes to Shukracharya and tells the whole story of how she ended up in the well. And we see throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many instances of where devotees, great devotees of the Lord, become bewildered by the internal energy of the Lord. And often they do things that you would not expect a devotee to do. But what it does is it teaches us, there's always a pastime involved, and it teaches us a great lesson. So we understand from this that Sharmishta, just to have your name in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to be a very special personality. So Sharmishta is an extremely special personality. But innocent, you know, Devayani innocently, when getting dressed on the banks of the Kund, where they were all bathing, and Lord Shiva and Parvati went by, so they all immediately jumped out and wanted to put on their clothes. And Devayani accidentally put on Sharmishta's cloth. And Sharmishta, being from the royal family, she should have looked upon this as an innocent thing. I mean, they were good friends. But instead, for some reason, of course we know the reason is to teach us a wonderful lesson, but she completely loses it. She becomes so upset with Devayani. Sharmishta took, and so they had this big quarrel. Devayani took because I had my point written down here. Took Devayani's cloth, right? And so she, being a Brahmani, you know, especially a Brahmani, I mean, we know that the qualities of a Brahman, Shamo Damas Tapasocham, Shantir Arajamam Evacha, Jnana Vijnanam Ashtikyam, Ramakarma Svabhavajam. We know that these are the qualities by which a Brahman acts. And a Brahmani is also expected to act according to those qualities. And here we have Devayani, who just totally lost it. You know, she became so upset that she had a huge fight with Sharmishta. And Sharmishta, of course, being a daughter of a Kshatriya king, she was, you know, Kshatriya Brahmanis are supposed to act like Brahmanas, and Kshatriya women, often they have a lot of the qualities of Kshatriya. So she was probably a little better at fighting. And so she was able to take advantage of that, and she was able to gain control and throw Devayani in the well. So it's a great lesson that all of this would not have taken place if they had just acted according to their proper qualities. And because also the Kshatriyas are supposed to respect the Brahmanas, because the Brahmanas are the ones that are guiding society back to ultimately spiritual realization and back to Godhead. So the Kshatriyas are supposed to take care of the Brahmins and respect them very nicely. But here we have where Krishna has bewildered them both, and we learn this lesson that if you do not act according to the qualities that Krishna sets down, then there will always be difficulty. So, Devayani goes and she complains to Shukracharya that I've been offended in this way, but the wonderful thing is that a king saved me from the well. And the king is willing to marry me. And so I would like you to go to Maharaj Vrishabhava and arrange this marriage and make sure that it happens, even though it is a pratiloma marriage and not considered a very proper thing. So Shukracharya is like, oh no. Now, here I am. Because I have accepted being the priest for King Vrishabhava, and he's actually my disciple. But now, because of the curse on Devayani that she couldn't marry a brahmana, he has to go and beg from his disciple, please allow my daughter to marry Yayati. And that puts him in a not so nice position. The spiritual master should never be begging from the disciple. It's always the other way around. The disciple should be begging from the spiritual master. And tadvini pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatpadarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So Shukracharya is supposed to be the one getting the service, but now he has to go and ask Vrishabhava to serve him and to serve his daughter. So he's thinking, I would much rather go and be an unattached Brahman. So it's described here that in the translation of the verse that this is unchavritti, collecting grains from the field. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says it is like a pigeon. Pigeon flies collecting grain off the ground like that. But that grain off the ground has been left by somebody. But if it just goes and gets it directly from the field, then it's, you know, getting it directly from nature, like that. So it's described in this purport that a brahmana, it can actually go and depend completely on nature and just take the grains that are there in the field, like that, in the same way that a pigeon does. And if he lives his life in that way, then that is the topmost platform, Srila Prabhupada said. Because it's depending completely on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one accepts being the priest of a Kshatriya family, then in a sense one becomes dependent on that family for one's welfare. And Shukracharya was now, his whole family was dependent on Vrishabhava and his family. So he's like, okay, now I have to go and beg for this arrangement. So we see that, this illusion that happens has happened many times throughout the Bhagavatam. And one of the things that comes up very in the 10th canto, where Lord Brahma He's written the Brahma Samhita, great and wonderful prayers glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But when Krishna came, he was a little bit bewildered. And he thought, I wonder if this boy really is who he says he is, you know, or who they think they think he is, and he's doing all these wonderful things. I'm going to go down there. He gets a little bewildered by the internal energy of Krishna, and he goes down, and he steals the cowherd boys. But again, that is all part of the arrangement, so that the expansions, Krishna expands himself to take the place of the cows and the cowherd boys, so that the calves. So the calves, when they go and drink from their mother, the cows are actually getting the Supreme Personality of Godhead drinking directly from them. It's such a wonderful arrangement. And all the cowherd boys are going home to their mothers, and their mothers, and they are actually also taking care of and feeding their sons, thinking that they're sons, but it's actually the Supreme Personality of God. They're getting that chance to have that Vatsalya Ras. So it's such a wonderful arrangement. So the Bhagavatam has these other places also where different illusions have taken place in order to... And of course we know... Oh, sorry. When Lord Brahma, you know, he immediately... Even though he was under illusion, he immediately thought, "Oh, I think I've made a big mistake here," and so it was just a fraction of his time. But when he came back, he witnessed that Krishna had expanded himself into all the cowherds, the calves, and cowherd boys, and then he was like, "Uh-oh, what have I done?" But a whole year had passed. So, this whole year had passed, and we understand that then Lord Brahma thought, "I've made a big mistake," and he offers so many wonderful prayers. In the Krishna book, we have the prayers by Lord Brahma to Krishna after stealing the cowherd boys. And it's such a wonderful prayer that Lord Brahma offers to Krishna. So, Krishna arranges that these illusions take place. And then we have the case of Bharat Maharaj when he becomes attached to the deer, and the deer is jumping across the river, and he saves it, and the little deer falls in the river and he saves it. And then he becomes very much attached to the deer over time. And then even the deer is in distress. He goes to save the deer and he dies, but he's thinking of the deer. So he gets the body of a deer. But this is to also teach us that we should not become attached on that material platform. Of course, it's not totally material because it is a pastime of the Bhagavatam. But it's that lesson is there, that these material attachments can bring one into a not-so-comfortable position. But of course, Bharat Maharaj, being a great devotee, gets... the body of a deer, and he's actually still has some of the awareness, and so he goes and he's associating with the sages in the forest, and he's taking their remnants and everything, and then he goes on and eventually, you know, fulfills, goes through another existence and goes all, you know, comes back to being a great devotee. But these illusions that take place are there for our benefit. So, we need to understand these things in the right light. And if we understand these things in the right light, then we can get our proper lesson from them and go back home, back to Godhead from these lessons. Now, the other day... Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was talking about how worshipping devotees frees one from lust. And he talked about how in the material world, People see each other as objects of sense gratification. And they just think, what can I get from you? What can I get from you? What can I get from you? And everybody's thinking that towards each other. And even when they so-called fall in love, they are really just thinking, I'm now going to get somebody who's going to make me happy for the rest of my life. They're not thinking, I'm going to actually serve somebody for the rest of my life. But the Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj talked about how if we worship devotees, then we are always giving to devotees. And if every devotee is worshiping every other devotee, then it just becomes a constant circle of love. Dadati pratigrinati guyam akyati prichati. So that giving, constantly giving and receiving from the devotees is a circle of love that is true love. And that love is what takes place in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, nobody is looking at somebody else thinking, what are you going to give me? It's like, what am I going to give you to help you serve Krishna? And that is the way we should look at every devotee. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. We should really be thinking, I am the lowest of the low, and I've got to help every other devotee in their service. How can I help you? How can I help you, you know, in your service? Somehow or other, I'm up here today, and hopefully I'm helping you in your service. But that is the emotion that we have to have. We have to be thinking, how can I help you in your service? And in this way, we constantly move forward in devotional service. And advancing in devotional service is not like it is in the material world. In the material world, when somebody advances in a company, what happens? You know, he's been working with everybody else, and all of a sudden, whoop, he's above everybody else, and he starts ordering everybody else what to do. And, you know, that may be, in the devotional sense, one actually, as they become higher in devotional service, they should be thinking, I don't want to order people what to do. I want to help them in their service. So even if somebody ends up in a management position in Krishna consciousness, one should be thinking, I am giving these devotees their service so that they can advance in devotional service. And if we're treating it in that loving way, and we're thinking about, and we really have true love for all the devotees around us, they will sense that. And then they will actually be able to take that service and do it very nicely, because doing it nicely then becomes a giving back to the person who gave them the service. And so that whole loving arrangement starts to really manifest, and then the temples can function nicely, because everybody is giving service and taking service, like that. And also, you know, he touched a little bit, and because we're dealing here with King Yayati, who ends up marrying Devayani, it has a lot to do with the Grihastha ashram. And so forgive me, all those in the renounced order who are here. But I'm going to speak a little bit about the Grihastha ashram, because there was a lot of interest in it the other day. And I believe that it's an extremely important thing, because in the Varnashram system, the Grihasthas are really the source of the wealth of the other three ashrams. So the sannyasis, the vanaprasthas, and the brahmacharis, they all depend upon the grihasthas, because the grihasthas are the only ones who are actually, and many of them are engaged in some mercantile work, and they're making some money, or they are taking care of the cows, and they're generating wealth from the cows, like that. Not that we should look upon cows as generating wealth, but naturally when you look after the cows, the wealth comes. So the wealth comes for society when society looks after the cows. like that. And it is the role of the grihasthas and as vaishyas to do that service. And really, so they are, the grihastha is, ashram is an extremely important ashram. And really the grihastha ashram, they are like the parents of all the brahmacharis. So any of you who are here who are brahmacharis, you know, you should look upon the any grihasthas as your parents, and your parents who love you in devotional service. We, as grihasthas, should be loving towards all the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis like that, and help them in their devotional service. And the grihasthas, in and amongst themselves, like even the grihastha couple, they should be constantly thinking that my wife is a wonderful devotee of Krishna, and my service to Krishna is to actually serve my wife, because she is a great devotee. In fact, I have here, just give me one second while I find it. I have some words here from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati from The Harmonist. And there we go. I had to put it in the right mode here. Okay, so here we go. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada wrote in an article, Relation Between the Sexes in The Harmonist, the cardinal principle of grihastha ashram is that no one may be the owner of any property or service of another. Everyone is only a servant whose activities are ever in the service of the Lord. Similarly, the sole object of everyone's service as the only master, only friend, only son, and only consort is Krishna. Marrying and giving in marriage do not give rise to any rights of a master, either to the husband or to the wife. Men and women are joined in wedlock for the purpose of serving each other in the performance of the joint service of Krishna. The wife is not an object of enjoyment of the husband, nor vice versa. They do not marry for gratifying their sexual appetites. They marry for pleasing the Lord, not for pleasing themselves. They choose for their partners only such persons who serve God better than themselves. They offer themselves to be accepted by their partners for the favor of being allowed to share in their superior service of Hari. Neither the husband nor the wife should claim the services of his or her partner on their own account. Both of them are only to offer their services if and when their partner is pleased to permit them to share their service of Hari. None of them can force their partners to serve them. This system of household discipline has its roots in the joint worship of the household deity by all members of the household. This is very important at the end here. The reason why the guru does not ordinarily ask any person to enter the state of wedlock is that it is very rare to find anyone in this world who is willing to regard his or her wife or husband as worthy of his or her unconditional services. This is, however, exactly the only relationship between husband and wife that alone can be sanctioned by the guru. Some pretty heavy stuff there. So really, that unconditional service of husband to wife and wife to husband is the only relationship that can be sanctioned by the guru. So if in one's marriage one is not serving your spouse wholly, like completely, unconditionally, if one is not doing that, then one's marriage is not sanctioned by the guru. That's what it says. So we really have to work on that. That's the only way that we can be happy in the Grihastha ashram. It's funny, I was sitting in the airport in Kolkata, and there was a big billboard. And it was a billboard for some condominiums. And it had a picture of this guy sitting on a grass thing. And it said two balconies down below. Like, I guess in India, having two balconies is a big deal. and he was kind of levitating above the ground, and it said, Shanti guaranteed. And I was thinking, oh boy. There is no guarantee of shanti in the material world. You know, the only thing that guarantees shanti is, you know, nasti buddhir yuktasya nachayuktasya bhavana nachabhavita shantir ashantasya kutasukam. Without happiness, you know, without peace, there is no happiness. And without happiness, there can be no shanti, like that. So, you know, they've got this idea that having some big house or some material arrangement is going to bring shanti. But it's not. What is going to bring shanti is a proper Krishna conscious marriage, as given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, where you are trying to wholly surrender to the service of your wife, and your wife is wholly surrendering to your service. And that will make everyone happy and satisfied in Krishna consciousness. And that is really, you know, Devayani, she was so upset with Sharmishta that she goes, and when, you know, I'll just go on a little bit and talk about what comes up next. She actually tells her father, I want you to ask Vrishaparva to make sure that Sharmishta and all her friends end up being my maidservants. You know, that's how vindictive she was. She hurt me, so I want her to now be my maidservant. Of course, that turned out to backfire on her, as we'll see later. But it's again another thing, you know, where she's thinking some material arrangement will make me happy, but it always ends up backfiring. And that's what happens in this case. And we'll see that in the coming week or two in the Bhagavatam. So I think I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments?
Generally, when the brahmachari is feeling mentally disturbed or not fit to be a brahmachari, so then we should get married. And then the, you know, their idea is that, well, since I can't control my senses or I'm not really satisfied being alone and find a partner, then we have to. It doesn't sound like they're really signing up to become a servant of somebody and just, like, you know, they want to serve Krishna if they're going to be told that surrender. As a grihastha, then now they have to become really, really surrendered to be in that relationship, and ultimately doesn't give any license for that satisfaction, gratification. So what's the use of jumping into that?
That's exactly what Srila Prabhupada said. You have sex once, you have a good son, and then no more. That's it. Yeah.
Prabhuji, please go into the list two important points regarding this verse. Number one, Sukracharya did not have to beg for mercy. You take the case of Dronacharya. He never brought anything to Ekaleva. And still, he made a very cruel Guru Dakshina to be made. His tongue had to be severe. He had taught him nothing. And still, he took the cruel Guru Dakshina. So there's another thing called Durdakshina. He didn't have to beg for mercy. He could have asked for Durdakshina. He could have commanded it. He could have demanded it. He could have incited it. He could have ordered it. There's much better option for Sukracharya. He didn't have to beg. That's point number one. And point number two, there's only picking grains in the field. He could have started plowing his own field. That would have been a better option. See, I'm from Tamil Nadu, and there is a quite important...
Sorry, Prabhu, I have to stop you there, because this is exactly, this is what the Bhagavatam has talked about, and this is the way Shukracharya felt. You may say those things that he could have done that, and he could, but this is how he felt, and that's the reality. So don't start introducing some other reality. You're introducing... Sorry, can you pass the microphone to this Prabhu here? Sorry, Prabhu, but you were going against what the Bhagavatam says, okay? So thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. I want to ask you all this moment in the group or the completely depends on the mercy of Krishna, that kind of Brahman. The first class of Brahmana depends completely on, and at one point I was thinking, I want something like this in my life, like I want depends completely on Krishna, but make one guilty, and I want to ask you how I can get this. It completely depends on how I can feel that I can take this mercy, or I don't know how to say in English, but how I be qualified to forget this mess, you know, because sometimes I say, yes, it's for the devotees, but I can get this, no, complete. I don't speak so much English, but I don't know if you understand the point.
I think I understand. So how is it that you can depend completely on the mercy of Krishna? Is that right? How can... Oh, yeah, yeah.
¿Cómo uno puede estar seguro de que uno va a obtener esa misericordia de Krishna? ¿Qué tipo de cosas uno debe hacer para tener esa plena seguridad de que yo dependo de Krishna en mi servicio, pero yo voy a obtener esa misericordia? Ese es mi nombre.
Oh, okay, what do you have to do to feel sure that you're depending on Krishna only? Well, I mean, you've just got to depend on Krishna, but I mean, really, the program that, you know, maybe that's not it?
It's not about the faith. I want the faith completely of Krishna, but what I need make, where is my duty? You know, Krishna is sending for, but what I need make...
Oh, what is your service? Like, what do you need to do for Krishna?
Because I know Krishna sent, but and in my position, what I can make.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what service can you do for Krishna? Well, you know, when one has the spiritual master, and all the spiritual masters in ISKCON, our Srila Prabhupada is our Param Shiksha Guru, right? So he's the one that's giving the instruction for the next 10,000 years. Srila Prabhupada's books, he said, will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. So the books are extremely important. And so all the gurus in ISKCON are also following Srila Prabhupada's instructions and saying one of the most important things that you can do is try to help Srila Prabhupada's mission. And Srila Prabhupada's mission was to give Krishna to everybody, right? He came to the West to give Krishna to everybody. So if you can do that, that's the highest service. That's the most wonderful service. Any proper circumstance where a woman does not have to marry? Interesting. There's Vedically speaking, In the Vedic times, almost every woman would become married. Unless they were, although in one sense, like here, you know, Sharmishta and all her friends end up becoming maidservants of Devayani. But in essence, it actually describes later on as well that they're also sort of married to Yayati as well, right? So in a sense, they're all married, but they don't necessarily, you know, have close relationships with Yayati. But some of them do, maybe, and some of them don't. But they all, so, and Prabhupada explains that at that time there were many more women than men because of the battles that would take place, right? Exactly, the battles that would take place, and you know, the men would die off like that. And actually, you know, even and when you look at life expectancy, even in the Kali Yuga, they look at life expectancy around the world. Generally, women live longer than men, so there are just more men, you know, more women in the world because they last a little bit longer than men do. Men seem to get heart attacks and everything else, and so many, you know, they're always in anxiety about how am I going to support my family and everything else, so they end up, you know, passing away faster. But, you know, in Kali Yuga, there's so many things that get mixed up. I mean, of course, we have, you know, there's all the different, you know, there's male, female, and now we have transgender and so many things. And so sometimes if they come to Krishna consciousness and they may have, you know, that understanding, like they have that sort of male mentality but in a female body, which happens in Kali Yuga, and it seems to be happening more and more. It's just bad karma. I mean, we all have bad karma. We're all in bodies, but sometimes, you know, it lines up that you're a man in a man's body, but what happens when you get a man's consciousness in a female body? Then it's like a real problem. But the best thing to do, and Srila Prabhupada even talked about it, is just serve Krishna. So if they have that consciousness that I have this male consciousness but I'm stuck in a female body, don't get married, but just serve. There's so many services that can be done. And Srila Prabhupada understood that female book distributors, I know historically in ISKCON, female book distributors have been some of the very best book distributors we've ever had. You know? I mean, Purnamasi, my wife, is a much better book distributor than I am. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing, you know? And if they can be taken care of and served also, then they can, you know, go out and also help the mission of Srila Prabhupada and help people to become devotees. So, yeah, it may happen due to certain circumstances that not all women will get married. And it's not necessarily that they are in that, you know, situation, you know, that male in a female body. I mean, they could be females in a female body, but it just never happens that they find somebody to marry. It happens. But they can still do much service for Krishna. I mean, I know Radha Kund, who served here, is still serving here, I believe, right? She's going out every day distributing Prabhupada's books as much as she can. Yeah, you know. And she's one of the best distributors here. I mean, she's out there all the time, you know, distributing Prabhupada's books until her dying day. You know? And so they can do wonderful service for Krishna. One more, sure.
Do you know what planet is pastime to the sun?
Well, because this is the history of the Yadu dynasty, and Krishna's born in the Yadu dynasty, this is taking place on this planet, but it's previous ages.
The reason why I asked
Yeah, I don't know.
It happened somewhere.
It happened somewhere. Yeah, exactly. And you know, different, I mean, the demigods were regular visitors to the Earth planet in previous yugas. You know, I mean, they would come down and interact with people on the planet all the time. So, you know, it's not necessarily that they had to be in another, you know, in the heavenly planets in order for weird and wonderful things to happen.
You told about this spiritual circle of love. And, is it guaranteed that we will just render service without expectations, that we will get and we are also be getting, we will be getting in return? Or is there always some reason or fears that, okay, I will render service.
Right. There's the spiritual. We have our spiritual, you know, selves, and we have our material mind and intelligence, right? And our spiritual self is just wanting to serve, unconditionally, even if we get beaten, you know, like Lord Chaitanya says, you know, even if you handle me roughly by embrace or make me brokenhearted, I don't care. I'm going to keep serving anyway. But then, you know, if we render service like that, are we going to get taken care of? When I joined ISKCON many years ago, I felt that Srila Prabhupada was there, and the devotees treated me, I felt, with the same love that Srila Prabhupada treated them. And so I felt, yeah, I can surrender here because I'll feel taken care of. And, you know, nowadays in ISKCON, you get that a little bit more where there sometimes the care may not be as good as it once was, as total as it once was. But I think if it really begins with loving, begins with oneself. And you've really got to, you know, if you put out love and loving service, there's a much better chance that you'll get loving service in return. So the only thing you can change is change yourself. So if you put out that loving service and you get ripped off, you know, in a sense, you don't get taken care of or anything, it's not your fault. You have acted perfectly. And perhaps the management has not acted perfectly. But don't worry about that, because you are completely in your spiritual right place. And because of that service, you're going back home, back to Godhead. And they have their own problems to look after, right? So, but if you give love, there's a lot more chance that the person whom you're serving will also say, oh, wow, he loves me so much. I want to serve him, you know? So just change. We have to change ourselves and give of that love, loving service ourselves, and try to, you know, I mean, Mahatma Gandhi, you can take gold from anywhere, right? You know, and he had that quote, be the change you want to see in the world, right? So if you make that change in yourself, that I'm going to give unconditionally to others, then that will spread. It will automatically spread. And just keep doing it. No matter how many times you get beaten down, no matter how many times it doesn't work out for you, just keep doing it, and the world will eventually change. That's how Srila Prabhupada changed the world. Because he kept giving, giving, giving. I mean, when he first came, when Prabhupada first came, he cooked for all the devotees. He served the devotees. He washed up after the devotees. He gave, gave, gave. I mean, he was serving, serving, serving. And then what did he do? Once a few devotees came along, then he translated the books, he knew that they needed more transcendental knowledge, and he wanted to feed them transcendental knowledge. So he got other people to do the cooking and everything else and the managing of the temples and everything, and he concentrated on translating his books. And he worked so hard at it for hours and hours every day. And he only slept a tiny bit, you know, 2.5-3 hours a day. And he worked and worked and worked for all of us. Over and over, you know, he just kept serving and giving of himself. When one person would leave, Prabhupada said, "I sweat buckets of blood for each and every one of you." You know, that service that he did, waking up early and translating, and I mean, it was a labor of love. So Prabhupada, I'm sure, thoroughly enjoyed doing it. But it was a labor of love because he loved us. And so we have to also take the love that Srila Prabhupada gave us. We have to learn to really love ourselves. And our true self is an unconditional servant. And if we can turn that unconditional service back out on the rest of the world, it'll have an amazing effect. Anyway, I think we better stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.